Good morning. Welcome to worship at Greystone Baptist Church. It is good to be together in God's house this morning as we celebrate together the impact of God's work in the world through members of Greystone Baptist Church. Today, several of us are wearing shirts from our summer experiences, either music camp or passport or a mission trip or another kind of ministry experience. Others of us are wearing t-shirts from schools where we are currently students or where we used to be students some time ago as a reminder to pray for those who are beginning a new school year today or in the past couple of weeks. And some of us chose to wear more neutral attire, meaning we're praying for all of you. So no matter which category you find yourself in, we're glad that you are here with us to worship God together today. If you're a guest with us, we're especially grateful that you've chosen to worship with us. And we ask that you take just a moment to sign either a connection card or the friendship register, which you'll find in your pews. And if you could, just leave a few little pieces of information, a name and a contact number or email address, so that we might reach out to you and extend our welcome beyond this hour of worship today. One of the ways that we have a small impact on one another's lives is that we offer greetings to one another as sisters and brothers in Christ. And the traditional historic way to do that is to say, "The peace of Christ be with you."
And also with you.
So as we begin worship today, let us stand and greet one another with that ancient blessing.
I invite you to join me in the call to worship. You may be seated. I think there's a few other things. I invite you to join me in our call to worship this morning. If you'd respond with the bold print when prompted. Come, all who are thirsty.
Come, all who are weak.
Come and taste the living water.
Come, dip your hands in the stream.
Drink from it. Depend on it.
For this water will never run dry.
All who are weary, all who are heavy laden, all who are thirsty.
Come and be made new.
Today's scripture reading is from Jeremiah 1, 4 through 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
In the act of family and child dedication, we are reminded of the ways that all of us are shaped and molded, created in God's holy image, and then called God's beloved children. With that in mind, it is a joy to welcome the Davis family for the dedication of Jack Gordon Davis. Greystone family, Jack Gordon Davis will understand what it means to be a child of God, not just because his parents and his immediate family teach him, but because you are partners with them in this important work. Jack needs to know what it means to be welcomed into the church and into the world, and how to be a responsible participant in it. As part of his spiritual formation, Jack needs to know that you will welcome him, love him, and care for him as he grows. Greystone, this is an act of dedication, and it's not only for the Davis family, but it is also for you. We ask you for a commitment and a promise this morning. Will you teach Jack the lessons of the gospel and to show him in word and deed what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ? If this is your intention and your hope, will you respond by saying, "We will"?
We will.
Amy and Grayson, Jack does not belong only to you, as you know. He is a gift from God given to you for a season. It's your calling as parents to help him know what it means to be a child of God. Will you keep him within the reach and the influence of the church so that he will learn what it means to be part of not just your family, but also the family of God? Will you be caretakers of his life and raise him in the ways of faith so that he will learn the voice of God and be able to one day answer that call upon his own life? If this is your intention and your hope, will you respond by saying, "We will"? Jack Gordon Davis is welcomed into the loving care of this church in the good hope that hereafter he may never be ashamed to confess his own faith in Christ, which you as a family and you as his church are called to cultivate from this day forward. May God bless us as we journey together in the bond of family.
Here we go. Jack, this is your church family. And they are going to love you, and they are going to teach you the stories of your faith, and they're going to teach you to sing of your faith. They're going to take you on mission trips and take you on camps so that one day you can be one of these leaders up here telling us about your experiences. Yeah. They've already started rocking you in the nursery. And they're going to teach you about missions. They're going to make sure that you know church is a place to come to learn how to love. Mom and Dad have picked out a special Bible verse. They want you to learn. Pastor Christy.
Let us pray together. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for the gift of children, for the ways that they bring play and joy and laughter into this world. We give you thanks for parents who strive each and every day to raise their children in the faith, teaching them practices and rhythms of life that will create a strong foundation upon which they might seek you in their whole lives. On this day and in this holy moment, we ask your special blessings upon Grayson, Kim, Charlotte, Henry, and Jack, that they might experience your love each day in their family, and that we, your church, might surround them with that same love which heals all things. In the Spirit of Christ, we pray. Amen.
This wonderful day the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Will you turn in your hymnal to number 209? This is the day, and if you're able, let's stand together as we sing.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let the Lord.
I am so glad to see you here this morning. A few weeks, well, several weeks ago now, in the middle of the summer, me and some of our other chaperones and adult leaders got on a van, and we, along with Shiloh Restoration Church, headed to Passport. We took third graders, fourth graders, fifth graders, and Shiloh brought some sixth graders with us, and we went to Passport Camp. And I've asked some of my Passport friends and campers to come and tell us a little bit more about the things that we did and the things that we learned while we were at camp. First, can somebody tell me what our theme was this year?
Our theme was to fearless.
Was to fearless. And what does that mean to you?
It means to, like, not be afraid of anything that happens.
Right. We talked about trusting God and not being afraid and to fear less and love more, right? Yeah. So, can somebody tell me what was one Bible story that you learned that week and what was something that you learned from it?
Samuel, Daniel, Ananias, or the woman at the well. Daniel, Ananias, or the woman at the well, and tell us. Okay. Samuel taught me that God can use me to do God's work, just like God used Samuel.
Just like God used Samuel. At lunch, you were telling me you really, really liked that story about that kid who was sleeping and he kept hearing a voice and he kept wondering who it was. Yeah, and then the priest told him, he said, if you hear it again, then you need to say, do you remember?
Speak, Lord, I'm listening.
Right, speak, Lord, I am listening. That was one of the Bible verses that you all learned, and y'all got some buttons every time you learned a Bible verse, didn't you?
I got all of them.
So somebody tell me, what was our mission emphasis this year?
The Center for Refuge and Hope in Kampala, Uganda, they help refugees fleeing from other African nations. At the night market, we got to see what living in a refugee camp was like.
Right. Y'all got to do all kinds of things at the night market, right? And y'all got to see what it was really like to be at the Center for Refuge and Hope and at a refugee camp. And y'all got to taste some food from Africa. What did y'all think? Some of it was pretty good.
Kind
of hot?
Yeah, we tasted cucumbers with
spices of it, and some of it was really hot, wasn't it?
Like coffee.
Coffee, yeah. It was decaf because it was late at night. Yes, I have some telling evidence of some kids who ate some of the really spicy spices, some wonderful looks on their faces. So during worship, one of the things that we got to do, what we prayed a different way every night or every afternoon. So what is one of your favorite prayer experiences?
When we were writing our praise in the passport.
Okay. So it's when you got to write in your passport. You got to write your prayer. Instead of saying your prayer, you got to write it. And that night, not only did you pray for yourself, but you prayed for the person sitting on either side of you. You got to learn a little bit about what they wanted God's help with a little bit, and you got to pray for them too. This morning at 8:45, the kids were saying that one of their favorite prayer experiences, do y'all remember, when for our prayer we got to look at a picture up on the screen, and it was a sheep drinking out of a bottle, right?
And what did
y'all think? That y'all had to think about who would be holding that bottle to feed the sheep. And who did y'all think it was going to be?
An animal.
You thought it was a kid. What? Who was it? It was a dog holding that bottle. And that prayer experience was supposed to help us think about looking at the bigger picture And not only focusing on like what's right just in front of us, but to kind of take a step back and look at the bigger picture, because there might be some more details that help us see what God's needs are in the world and see how God is working in our world. Thank you for sharing, and I know it was a really fun week together. I'm going to let you all go back to your seats because we've got a lot more to do in worship today.
Please take out your hymnal, turn to number 375, and let's stand together and sing, Jesus Shall Reign.
Pray. Dear Heavenly Father and giver of all gifts, you have listened to us this week when we prayed, but like a parent, you have loved us enough to not answer every request. Give us open hearts today as we listen to the impact of those who share what they have experienced this summer while using their gifts to meet the needs of others. Give us hearts of generosity and the courage to answer your call. As we ask you to bless what we give, we are reminded that we are, in fact, the ones who are being blessed in the giving. It is in the name of Jesus, our Savior, who gave his all for each of us, that we offer this prayer. Amen.
He is my to deliver in times of storm. And I know that he'll keep you safe from all earthly harm. One day when my weary soul is at rest, I'm going home to be forever blessed.
Trust and never doubt, Jesus will surely bring you out. He never failed me yet. I will sing of his mercy every day, every hour he gives me power. I will sing thanks to thee. For all the dangers, troubles, and snares that he has brought me out, he is my God.
Moses from King Pharaoh, and didn't he cool the fiery furnace for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? When I think of what my God can do, he delivered Daniel. I know he will deliver you.
Trust and never doubt, Jesus will surely bring you out.
My name is Mia.
And I'm Tana Grace.
We went to SMAC,
which stands for Summer Music and Arts Camp,
which told the story of Zacchaeus and Bartimaeus.
We played the party planners.
Prom professional planning for perfectly pleasing parties.
I was Mary and Mia was Joy.
My favorite part of camp was performing.
My favorite part of camp was having a role in the musical.
We learned to treat others the same, even though all people are different.
All right, so Unit Diversity brings over 400 6th through 12th graders together from several different states to Maryville College in Maryville, Tennessee. This was my third year attending Unit Diversity. I had choices of where to spend this week, and I chose Unit Diversity. Unit Diversity was great because I liked spending time with my youth group. There was a great schedule and time to learn about God, and there was free time. Every night, there was a special devotion with just our group. We learned about each other and became closer as a family. Being by the mountains and being able to tube down a nearby river was nice as well. And I also learned how to juggle. And most importantly, I learned that God knows me better than anyone else. He knows me and loves me. Even if there are bad things we've done, he still loves us, period. Finally, I have witnessed that Alan is quite a dancer. And thank you, Alan, for bringing this camp into my life.
Hi, I'm Sydney Lanham. This year, the youth group went on a mission trip to New Bern, North Carolina in early June. The project that was set out for us was to refloor a home that had been severely damaged by a previous hurricane. The majority of the damage was from flooding, but there was also a lot of other hurricane damage. The home was owned by an older woman who had been forced out of her home due to all the damage. Our goal was to make the home livable again as soon as possible so that she could move back in. When we began to work on the home, we were faced with some challenges since none of us had worked with the type of flooring we were using before. But once we got the hang of it, we were able to complete the flooring in the entire home with the few days that we were there. One day while we were working, we got to meet the homeowner, and she was overwhelmingly grateful for the work that we had done and we were still continuing to do. I remember she insisted on giving each of us a hug, and then she said, "There's no need to tell me your names because I won't remember them anyway. But I will always remember what you have done for me, and I will always be grateful for it." When she said that, it made me realize what we had done had really impacted her life for the better. And I was so grateful for my experience and that we were able to complete the work we were sent to do.
I'm Sydney Walker, and I also attended the mission trip to New Bern in June. I wanted to talk about another important aspect of our trip, which was our connection and fellowship with the First Chin Baptist Church of New Bern. The Chin people are a prominent ethnic group in Burma who are predominantly Christian, and many have migrated to the U.S. or fled here as refugees. Our youth group was able to spend time and hang out with the youth from First Chin, including a scavenger hunt around New Bern, followed by a trip to an ice cream shop. We also experienced and participated in one of their worship services. During our time with them, we learned two songs, one of which was in Chin. This took quite a bit of determination and perseverance, as we had never even heard what the language sounded like before we tried to sing it. But with the help of the Chin youth and one of their pastors, we were able to stumble through the song, some more confidently than others. We performed these two songs at the Chin worship service alongside the Chin youth, which was a very eye-opening experience for all of us. The service had some parts in English and some parts in Chin, so we participated in some, but were also able to just listen and appreciate this language and culture that was brand new to us. This experience was a significant part of what made this trip so meaningful for me and the other youth and adults who took part in it.
Hi, my name is Sally, and I'm a student at NC State University. This May, I spent 3 weeks as part of CREW Student Ministries Greek Summit in Breckenridge, Colorado. We spent time together every morning learning how to share our testimony with others and having quiet time in the Word. In the afternoon and evening, we usually had free time when we could explore the town of Breckenridge as well as try out all the different coffee shops with our Bible studies. We were able to do fun team-building activities like whitewater rafting and skiing, as well as go to a Rockies game. I met people from campuses all over the country who I've established connections with despite being thousands of miles away. We had a theme. We had themes for each week, with the first being how to have a deeper relationship with the Lord through spending quiet time together and the necessity of prayer. The second and third weeks focused on equipping us to take what we learned back to campus and practically applying this knowledge by hosting a town cleanup day. I am thankful for this experience and grateful for all the financial and prayer support I've received and to be able to go.
Good morning. My name is Lindsay, and this summer I went to East Asia with my campus ministry. On the very first morning that I arrived in East Asia, God placed in front of me 1 Chronicles 28:10, which says, "Realize now that the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Although I knew I could never do it by my own strength, I was ready to spend the summer giving up every part of myself for the Lord's mission in East Asia. However, less than a year before, I had many parts of my life which I can confidently say were not surrendered to Christ. My relationships, schoolwork, and identity were filled with striving to obtain perfection according to my own plan. So how did I end up in East Asia on a summer mission with the goal of purely sharing the gospel? It is because of Jesus' voluntary decision to pay the price for my sins, which caused both the wounds from my past and the fears of my future to vanish. The newfound freedom I found in Jesus gave me the strength to walk away from the things I was once chasing and instead run towards a life with Jesus at the center. I won't go into all the details of my story today, but it is important to me that I express to you this morning that the reason why I chose to spend 6 weeks in a place with hardly any toilets is purely because of the redemption that Jesus' grace has made in my life. On a regular day in East Asia, we would go to a language class in the mornings and meet up with college students, just like me, in the afternoon. During these meetings, we would get to know the students and look to the Lord for wisdom and timing to share about all the great things that he has done in our lives. I was astounded to see God's word impact so many people so strongly. God was so truthful in saying in Hebrews 4 that the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Every girl I shared with said she felt impacted and changed by that news, and saw that Jesus' sacrifice was worthy of wanting to know him more. Every conversation I had was fruitful, and I learned that the Holy Spirit speaking through his word reveals God's character more strongly than the best piece of advice that I could ever come up with on my own. Foolishly, I had come to East Asia with the mindset that I was introducing people to Christ. However, it was evident from the very first week that God has been working in the lives of the people in East Asia just as much as in my own. He truly is the God of the nations, for in John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created." This is exemplified perfectly through Janie, a girl who had everything that she had ever wanted. She told me that she knows that she should be happy, but doesn't know why she just didn't feel satisfied with her life. Her heart was extremely fertile soil for the gospel, which she latched onto with a passion. On my last day doing ministry, we met and she told me she had read John chapter 18, in which Peter denies Jesus 3 times. I'm not sure why she chose to read this seemingly random chapter to me, after I had suggested other ones that were better for her to read, in my opinion, like when Jesus walks on water and dies on the cross. But I knew it was God's plan working better than my own, because her questions about Peter's denial were the perfect avenue to tell her about how Jesus forgives Peter's sins and restores his relationship with Peter in chapter 21. Through this gospel example, the Holy Spirit moved in Janie's heart, and she received salvation. In a recent update, Janie's quoted saying, "I have such joy that I haven't had before. God really loves me." At the famous story of the wedding feast in John chapter 2, Jesus could have summoned wine out of thin air. However, he asked the workers at the wedding to to fetch the water for him so they could share in the joy of his redemption. I'm still overwhelmed with gratitude, trying to comprehend why God delights in using us, even as sinners, to aid him in his mission. However, the reality is that this is the power of Jesus' sacrifice working in our lives. Thank you to everyone at Greystone who supported me both in prayer and financially to make sharing the gospel any stage of this summer possible. And please continue to pray for more laborers to be sent there. Thank you.
For the last 15 years, members of our congregation have been participating in the All Church Challenge in Helena, Arkansas, in July, when it's hot, and maybe there's a stray hurricane while you're there. The All Church Challenge is sponsored by Together for Hope, which is a faith-based organization that has made a long-term commitment to working with people in 20 of the nation's poorest counties in order to affect change and to help break the cycle of economic disparity. Helena, Arkansas, is in Phillips County, Arkansas, and was recently listed as one of the four poorest counties in the country. Phillips County used to be a thriving town on the banks of the Mississippi River and home to the blues before Memphis was. So it was the birth of the blues there. But today, however, more than 50% of the children in Phillips County live in poverty. The All Church Challenge provides a two-week opportunity for CBF partner churches from all over the country to work alongside local churches and individuals in Phillips County. As a church, we have participated in kids' camps for kids ages 3 to 12. We've taught swim lessons to kids and adults. We've repaired homes and done other community activities there. This year, I worked with several others from our congregation to try to make an almost 100-year-old home livable for a young family who had chosen to scrape together everything they had and move out of public housing due to violence and an unhealthy environment for their three young children. The mom of this family, while trying to take care of her family and get them to someplace safe, was also trying to be a community leader and run a small community center in the neighborhood so that the kids could come for books and games and someplace to go in these neighborhoods where they were. So we worked side by side with members from other churches that from Arkansas, as well as from Texas and other places, to install insulation in the attic, power wash the house down to the bare wood, paint the exterior, paint and install kitchen cabinets because there were none. There was a kitchen, but it had no cabinets. Installing ceiling fans, a small screening in a back porch, repairing the old brick footings on the front of the house that we discovered were starting to cave in and fall, and adding shower plumbing and a bathroom to a tub so that there was a shower where there had just been a bathtub, and paint that bathroom. It was a regular mini HGTV episode, if you will, for us this year. So while we obviously couldn't take care of all the needs of the family, it was fulfilling to know that we had made a difference in their lives and hopefully a difference in the lives of their children and in their children's future just by trying to be the presence of God in their community.
I'm Robert Grant, and I went to Duke Youth Academy this summer. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us so many opportunities this summer to do great things. Whether it's been serving others, building relationships, or following your call, we can only thank you for it. However, we know all too well that most good things must come to an end. But as summer comes to a close, and the new school year begins, we ask that you can bless us with a good year for staff and students, remembrance to thank those with seemingly less important titles, and to call us to be kind to one another. in our words and in our actions. In all that we think and do and say, please help us to live our lives like your Son and to do what he wants us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I don't know about you, but hearing the stories from the summer is encouraging because I've seen our children, our teens, and our adults all respond with courage, a bold yes to the call of the Spirit out beyond the walls of this church and into the world where God is already at work and we are able to join alongside God in that work, whatever it looks like. So in this time of reflection and response, if you are feeling God call you towards anything in particular, if you would like to come forward and share that with me, I would love that, and we could have a moment of prayer. Or if you're feeling God call you to say yes to following Jesus and solidifying that faith, that affirmation that Jesus Christ is Lord, then this is a great time for you to step forward with courage and say yes. And if that is you, then I will be here to receive you gladly. And likewise, if you are feeling the Spirit call you to formalize your membership here as a member of a Greystone Baptist family, then I would be here to receive you for that as well. However God is calling us, whether it's a public affirmation, a public movement forward, or a private yes from your seat, let us stand and sing and fully experience this time of response.
Our hymn of response is number 654, Change My Heart, O God. Let's stand together as we sing.
Celebrate our community, to think about how the offerings that you give, the time that you volunteer, the prayers that you offer up for this, your community of faith, bears fruit. And so today you've heard some of the experiences that all ages of our congregation have shared in and are inspired by. Now the work continues. And so as we start a new church year, I would remind you of a few things. So we need a few more volunteers in our children's music program to teach choir on Wednesday nights. So this is a 45-minute commitment on Wednesday nights. If you're willing to work with our kids and to share with them some of the joy of learning how to be worship leaders and learning how to sing together, then please do see Chris Hare. And then we have another opportunity. If you can clap, if you have any rhythm at all, if you can count to four, then you can come try handbells. So our handbells are going to be having their first rehearsal on September the 8th at 5 o'clock. And so they are looking for people who can count to four and who can clap. So if you would like to come and do that, then please do come on September the 8th at 5 o'clock. As you leave the sanctuary today, you're going to find two pieces of information on the little table outside in the hallway. Those two pieces of information are there to help you become prepared for our church and conference on September 4th. One is a draft that is being presented for your approval for a missions endowment and a properties endowment at Greystone. So please do take those endowment materials and read over them so that you're prepared for the meeting on September 4th. There's also a report from the nominating team, and that will also come up at the church and conference. Speaking of the church and conference on September 4th, we will begin at 5:45 with leadership training. This used to be called All Teams Meeting. It is now leadership training, and that will be at 5:45 in the fellowship hall on September the 4th. We will then have church and conference in the fellowship hall at 6:45, and then for those of you who are a little more ambitious, you can stick around for adult choir. So please do be there on September 4th. Also, keep in mind that Heritage Sunday is September the 8th, and that is coming up. I hope you'll make plans to join us for that amended schedule, Sunday school at 9:30, worship at 10:30, and lunch following. Speaking of fellowship opportunities, today we will go and move from this place to the fellowship hall to celebrate the calling and ministry of Alan Smith. Alan has been our minister of students for 5 years now, and I hope that you will join me in the fellowship hall to celebrate him and to have a little bit of food, and then to understand and give him your best wishes as he moves forward in his career. Pastor Chrissy is going to come forward. The youth group is invited to come forward and stand up here with the choir, right? So everybody come on up.
You can sing. I hear you dance, though, so you can. So as Amanda mentioned, this is sadly for us, Alan's last Sunday with us as our minister of students. It's a bittersweet time for us as we are grieving our loss, but we celebrate with you this important step in your vocational discernment and your following God's call. It certainly takes courage to say yes, and so we're glad that you have and we support you in whatever comes next along the way. Alan has been our minister of students for 5 years, as you all know. And as you also know, Alan has served this church in so many ways beyond that title. To name a few, Alan has served our finance ministries. He has worked with our senior adult team and with our senior adult ministries. He has given himself fully to pastoral care. And he is an excellent preacher and has graced us with his words as God has given them to Alan to give to us. And these are just a few of the ways that Alan has blessed us for the last 5 years, and also apparently with his dancing skills. So we give God thanks for all of those gifts for ministry and for the ways that they pour out in this place and beyond. There will be a time for us to speak with Alan, to send him on the way with our own words of blessing. That will happen in the reception in the fellowship hall immediately following worship. The church has a gift for Alan. The youth ministry has a gift for Alan. And the personnel committee has a gift for Alan. And we want to be able to give those to him. There's also a slideshow put together by one of our students. I hope you will all join us over there in just a moment. I have a spoken blessing that I would like to say for Alan on behalf of us, on behalf of the staff, and on behalf of the congregation as he leaves today. And in addition to that, there will be a musical benediction, which the youth primarily and some backup singers, I think backup they're behind them, want to sing. I hear that the song that they're singing is...
Like right there? Yeah. Snuggle up. Okay. When we were thinking about what we could do for Alan as a closing sending song, we were trying to think of something the youth could do together. And we've sung a lot of songs all over the years, but especially in these last 5 years with Alan, we have gone to Unidiversity and done a lot of singing there. So some of the songs that we've sung there we know are special to him. And so we thought about one that's really special, which is Rocky Top. But then we thought, well, that wouldn't be appropriate. So we knew this was also special to him, so we're going to sing this one.
Pretty much says it all. Let's keep on singing and celebrating Alan. See you in the fellowship hall.